30 minutes from where Bill Monroe is buried. If that'll help you out any, but that's where I'm at. But raised up in church, all I ever knew, church. Since a little boy, and sung with my two sisters in church, and then later on, I sung with a trio called the Sugar Grove Singers. We traveled around for about 17 years out of Sugar Grove Baptist Church. Love the Lord this morning. I tell you what, I've enjoyed it already. What a day that will be. I tell you what, I've lit me up already this morning. But I got to think about this old song. I didn't write this song. I'm going to sing some songs that I've written through the years. I'll tell you right off the bat, I'm not a songwriter. I can't sit down and write a song. But the Lord maybe preach a message. I know Tim Rutherford, one time I was sitting in a meeting with him, and he preached a message on the City of Refuge. And the Lord dealt with my heart about that and just began to build on that. I guess it's like a preacher with a message. And I mean, within about a month, I had a song, The City of Refuge. But I'm going to sing some of those songs this morning. But I want to sing this old song this morning. I like it. Many hills and many valleys, these old tired feet have trod. And so often I have wondered, would they reach heaven's side? Oh, but I knew the answer when I stepped in Jordan Street. And when I crossed that river, will be worth it all to me. And when I cross that river, will be worth it all to me. All the beauty of heaven before my eyes I there stands Jesus, and there's Mom and Dad. They've been waiting for me. When I cross that river, will be worth it all to me. And when I cross that river, will be worth it all to me. All the beauty of heaven before my eyes I will see. There stands, and there's Mom and Dad. They've been waiting for me. When I cross that river, will be worth it all to me. Amen. I'll tell you what, I just remind the Lord this morning. There's a story in the Bible about a city God had prepared, and a man he could run to when he found himself in trouble, a time of great despair, fleeing from the one who sought his life. There outside that city, he cried unto the keeper and asked if he could enter it. For there he would find safety God, He made provision, a city of refuge for Him. And Him from the fall of man, I was found in sin, with a debt to be paid. Oh, but God, He cared for me, and on Mount Calvary, the foundation was laid. And on the cross, Christ stretched out His hand, that mighty gulf He span, and bought my liberty. Now I can run to God's only Son. He is a city of refuge for me, and one day I'll reign. Though guilty I was, I found shelter in the blood He shed for me. I was condemned, oh, but God, He showed Calvary, God built a city of refuge for me. Yeah, no, Calvary, God built a city of refuge for me. If you know this old song, Lord, been dealing with my heart this morning really strong. I don't know what I'm going to sing. I'm just singing what I feel like is laying on my heart. But once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. And the Savior in love gave me peace, joy, and love. When He reached down His hand for me. If you know it, help me sing it. When He reached down His hand, without God for His Son. And He reached down His hand for me. I was near to despair when He came to me there, and He told me that I could be free. And then He lifted my feet, gave me joy, joy complete. When He reached down His hand for the Savior.
had to reach way down for me. Without God or His Son, when He reached down His hand for me,
y'all help me sing that chorus one time, will you? Let's just sing it without any music. Help me sing that song. When He reached down His hand for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost, I was undone, without God or His Son. When He reached out His hand for me. Amen. Hey, let me do one more song real quick, and I'll want to hear Brother Prophet preach. Here's a song the Lord touched my heart with back 7 years ago. While crossing over Galilee, a storm it was raging. The disciples, they feared for their lives. But Christ the Lord, He was on board. He just spoke to the wind. It knew His voice, and everything was in control. In control of the storm around you, be raging. He's in control in your life, no matter what you're facing, and even in your darkest night, when there seems to be no light, He's always with you. He'll never fail you. He's in control. There are times in this life when there seems to be no answer to the problems and the troubles we go through. But Christ the Lord, He's still on board, for He lives inside me, and He has the answer, and everything is in control. In control, though the storm around you be raging, He's in control in your life. No matter what you're facing, and even in your darkest night, when there seems to be no light, He's always with you. He'll never fail you. He's in control. He's always with you, and He'll never fail you. He's in control.
that good singing. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that God anointed singing this morning. And know the Lord ministered today and touched hearts today while Brother Kenny is singing. He's going to be back tonight and singing some more with us. And a lot of the songs he wrote is on that CD. And he won't be here long enough to sing all those songs, but we appreciate him minding the Lord. And that's what I know his prayer was. That's what my prayer was and always is when someone comes here to preach or to sing. My prayer is always that, you know, they would just mind the Lord and sing or preach whatever God lays upon their heart to do so. Because that's what it is. It works and helps. Amen.
Amen.
All right. If you open your Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we'll try to preach a little bit this morning if the Lord will help us. And if he don't, it'll be just a little bit. But in Matthew chapter 8 this morning, Matthew chapter 8, we began last week preaching a series on some people that met Jesus. And I told you I was going to be preaching on this for a little while. Didn't know how long or how long the Lord leads. And just some simple things about some people that met Jesus. And I'll have to say in my Christian life, I thank God for a lot of things and all things that we learn about the Lord. But I have to say that in my Christian life, it's been those simple things that God used the most to help me the most in my life down here. And this is just a simple story about a man that met Jesus that he recorded there in the Word of God. Beginning in the 5th verse of Matthew chapter 8. And the Bible said, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Thank you. May be seated. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you, Lord, already for the service, Lord, thus far. We thank you, Lord, for the teaching during the teaching hour. We thank you, Lord, for the hearts that's been touched already during this worship time. And now we pray that God will anoint this preacher to preach the Word of God in a way that would glorify the Lord, in a way that would help people. God, as we come this morning, Lord, we ask today for those that, Lord, have met you, that their hearts may be stirred by remembering, Lord, what happened when they met you, and Lord, how their life has changed. And Father, we pray this morning for those that are here today and they know about the Lord, they've heard about the Lord, but they really have never personally, Lord, met you as a Savior. And I pray this morning that they might come and meet you, Lord, as their Savior. Now, Father, we look to you for everything because we know you have everything. And, Lord, we ask today that the Lord would be able to direct our heart and mind and spirit in such a way that it could be a blessing, a help to somebody. I thank you, Lord, for my salvation. I thank you, Lord, for keeping me, paying for it. And I thank you, Lord, Father, for keeping me clean and making a way that we can stay in fellowship with the Lord through the cross. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do here this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My title this morning, I'm preaching on the captain. The captain who met the commander-in-chief. the Bible says and has recorded within its pages for us to read many people that met the Lord. And you may have met many great people in life, or maybe you will meet many great people in life. But there is no one that will change your life and affect your life like meeting the Lord. I'm glad that in 1964 I met the Lord. And I met Him as my Savior and my Lord. And I'm glad that down through the years that the Lord has walked with us and talked with us along life's narrow way. I'm glad. You know, there's people that I might could meet this morning if I had money or if I had the right connections, I might be able to meet them and they might be able to help me. If I had a financial need this morning, if I could make the connection and make the plea, I know that Bill Gates has the means to be able to help me. But I probably would never get that opportunity to meet with him. Many people like that in life. But I'm glad that recorded in the Word of God is all classes that met the Lord. I'm glad it wasn't just the rich and the elite, though I'm glad they could meet the Lord. I'm glad that it was not just the simple and the lowly. I'm glad they can meet the Lord. But recorded in the Bible, we have rich people that met Jesus. And we have poor people that met Jesus. We had men of great learning and education that met Jesus. And we had men that was termed ignorant and unlearned. But they met Jesus also. We had men that were married and men and women that were divorced that met the Lord. We have people that were moral and upright, but they were lost, but they met the Lord. We had those that were vile and the vilest of the vile, but they met the Lord. We had people that was healthy physically, nothing wrong with their body, and they met the Lord. And we had people that was physically impaired and there was problems with their body, but they met the Lord. But whatever their condition was and wherever they came from, they found the Lord to be a man that was approachable. Unlike Bill Gates or someone else, you are able to meet the Lord this morning. The Bible says in almost every one of these encounters that there came a certain person to the Lord. I'm glad He's approachable. Amen. I'm glad you don't have to go through a bunch of channels to get to the Lord. I'm glad that you don't have to know somebody down here on this earth to get to the Lord. I'm glad that He is approachable this morning. They found Him, every one of them, they found Him to be a man with answers. Whenever they came to the Lord, anyone that seriously came with a question, seriously to approaching the Lord, He had an answer for them. Now, He did not have an answer sometimes for those that were trying to trap Him and those that were skeptical, not that He couldn't have, but sometimes He withheld an answer to them. They all found Him to be a man of authority. They said, this man speaks with authority. He seems to have power to do something. I'm glad that Jesus is a person with authority this morning. Brother Kenny just sung about Him speaking to the wind and about Him being in control. And He is this morning a man with authority. Then let me say this morning that they found Him, more importantly, to be a man that was able. What others couldn't do, He could. Where others failed, He didn't. I'm telling you that He was a man that was able. And so in our text, this centurion comes to the Lord. Now, a centurion is a man that was a Roman soldier, if you will. But a centurion was a captain, usually, over at least 100 men. That's why he said what he did. And so one day, this captain, he comes, and he meets the commander-in-chief. I'm glad this morning that I know who the commander-in-chief is this morning. Amen. I'm glad he's the captain of my salvation. But as we look this morning at this man that met the Lord, I want to look at some simple things here in our text today. First of all, I want to say he was a man that heard about the Lord. Now, that's simple this morning. It doesn't say that here where we've read today, but Luke gives this same account. It's a little different. Luke says that he sent people to the Lord. Now, that's not a Bible contradiction. Every which way it was, it's the way it was. Amen. But you say this morning, if I were to call down and there was a wreck out in front of the church, and I were to call down there and I were to call Shootman's Wrecker Service and say, we've had a wreck, I need you to come up and pick up the truck. And the truck came over here and someone said, who got that truck? I'd say, well, Shootman got that truck. But it might not be Shootman driving the truck. Someone else may have drove the truck and come over here and picked it up. You say, why did you say that? Because he was the person in authority. And so Jesus said that this man, he said of himself, I have authority. And so whether he went or he sent someone else, I don't know. All I know is there's no contradictions in the Word of God. We look at this morning, and Luke says it this way, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Verse 2 said, and when he heard of Jesus. You say, that's so simple, Brother Ricky. Look like a man been preaching 28 years could come up with something better than that. That's so simple. I want you to understand that God over and over again tells us how that people heard of the Lord. Now it is simple, but I want you to see the emphasis that God places and the importance that God places of people hearing about the Lord. Every one of these people came to the Lord because they heard about the Lord. You know why we don't see people saved like we used to? A lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is because we do not talk about the Lord anymore. People do not hear us talking about how great that God is and what that God does for us. Oh, we talk about it in church and prayer meetings. But those lost people are not here. They're out there on the job. They're out there at Walmart. They're out there at McDonald's. And they need to hear us talking about what the Lord has done for us. And it might put a hunger in their soul. I don't want to know who this Jesus was. The Bible says that they heard about the Lord. Let me ask you a simple question this morning. When's the last time you bragged on the Lord to somebody? When's the last time you told what the Lord had done for you? And yet Jesus, that man that was saved, that maniac of Gadara, the Bible said, Jesus said, go home and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. Are you saved? Boy, he done something great for you and me, didn't he? If he saved us, thank God. And I'll tell you, it didn't stop there. He's been doing great things in our life ever since the day we were saved. If we're trying to walk with the Lord and live for the Lord, amen. It's important that people hear about Jesus. You say, how do they hear about Jesus? Well, one of the ways is through preaching. The Bible said in Romans 10 and 14, he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? What are they sent for? They're sent to tell people about Jesus. Amen. I'm not here this morning to tell you about how great I am. That'd be a short sermon today. I'm not here to tell you about how great this church is. That'd be a short sermon today. But I'm here to tell you about how great Jesus is today. I tell you, a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Now I tell you, there's so much preaching anymore that doesn't even mention Jesus, that doesn't even lift up Jesus. It's all psychology, it's all current events, and not much about Jesus. But I'll tell you, Paul said, I preached unto him Jesus. I'm telling you what to get people saved, Jesus. I'm telling you what to help people, Jesus. Amen. I tell you, it ought to be Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the evening, and Jesus when the sun goes down. Preaching about Jesus. And something we have a lot more of that they didn't have in Bible days. People hear about the Lord through the printed page. Thank God the Bible, of course. And then little things like this that some people think silly, that some people think that it's a waste of time. And I won't go into the details about how a preacher come in here one day and argued with me, and he said, "Surely you don't believe anybody could read that and get saved." I said, "No, they couldn't just read that and get saved." But I said, if God was dealing with their heart already, I said, there's enough in there to tell them how to be saved. I'll tell you one thing, you can't be saved without the Word of God. And I'm telling you, you've got to get it some way. And some people won't come here preaching, and so they got to let this preach to them. I remember years ago, I was preaching with Jimmy Hood up in Cincinnati, Ohio. Actually, Jimmy wasn't with us at I was supposed to be there with Jimmy. When I got there, they said Jimmy had got a call to preach somewhere else, and so he left some other people there to be with me, some of his men there in the church. And so I went and stayed with one of them, and they said, "You want to go preach with us on the street today?" And I said, "Sure." And we went down to what they call the Gala Strip. And you can doesn't take too much to figure out why they called it that. Men and women walking down by the 500, I mean, at a time, coming down through there, holding hands and kissing men, kissing men, and women kissing women. I mean, enough to gag a maggot. I want to tell you that I went down there to preach, and I preached for a little while, and there was a car that come by, and he stopped right in front of where I was. And he rolled a window down and said a few words. And then he said, "You people are disgusting." He said, "Can't you do this on Sunday morning?" And I wouldn't be, because I'm not that quick or that smart. But I said, "Sir," I said, "we do it on Sunday morning." But I said, "Everybody won't come on Sunday morning. And so sometimes we got to come down where you are so you can hear the preaching of the Word of God." Amen. But I'm telling you that we need preaching. We need the printed page to get the Word of God out. We need personal testimony. You know what that Lord, the Lord told you in His Word? He said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set Him aside. Put a place in your heart for the Lord." And He said, "Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready always to tell people about your church. Be ready always to tell people about your preacher. Be ready always to tell people about your youth program." Oh no! He said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give a reason of the hope that is within you." The hope within me has nothing to do with anybody's preacher. The hope within me has nothing to do with anybody's church. The hope within me has to do with the Son of God that died on Calvary's cross and saved me, that lives down in my heart today, and I know I'm saved. Amen. He heard about Jesus. But you see what people hear today. "Oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do." I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just telling you the way people talk today. Right. "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do." And let's sit and listen to people about 10 minutes. You'd think God died. Just listen and talk to people. You'd think they was an orphan child. God's not dead. And I'm not an orphan child. I have a heavenly Father. The Bible said He knows all about me and cares all about me. And sometimes we need to remind the devil, "Hey devil, I'm tired of this. I just remembered whose child I was. I just remember what He said. And glory to God, I tell you, I'm going to get up out of despair. And I'm going to get above the circumstances because I know a God that's able." Amen. He heard about Jesus. There's a lady here this morning, holy lady, and The only person, period, man or lady, that I've heard say this in 28 years of preaching. But she stood up one night and she said, I wished I had what you people's got. Well, I want to tell you this morning that we need to have something that people do want. The reason the world don't want it the way most Christians look, live, dress, and act, the world already has what they have. But I'm telling you, we need Jesus in our life in such a way that we are a peculiar people, a different people, and they look and say, what's wrong with them people? And somebody be able to tell them, they just got saved real good. They just love God real good. I tell you what's wrong with a lot of people that some people call peculiar and weird and odd. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with them. They just love God real good. That's all he is. Old story. The lady come to me one day and she's upset because Brother Eddie always testifying. Of course, I knew the minute she come why she was upset because I'd never heard her testify. And she said, why does Brother Eddie always have to testify first? I said, that's an easy question, lady, because you don't. I said, if you beat him to the floor, he wouldn't have to testify first. And I'm telling you this morning that we need to make sure that people hear about Jesus. Then let me tell you something about this man. Look in verse 6. The Bible says that he come to the Lord. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now not only did this man hear, but that little statement there tells me this man had something the Lord liked. Yeah. This man had a heart.
Amen. Amen. Right. Yeah.
I mean, here is a Roman centurion.
Right. Think about that.
He has 100 people under him at least.
Yeah. Right.
Can I tell you, it is not the norm for a Roman centurion, a man of authority and power, a man that has 100 people in under him, it is not on the normal way that he would be worried about a servant that works for him and that lives there and does for him. But this man had a heart. You know what's missing so much today is some heart in this thing. We got all the outlines. We've got all the alliteration. We've got all the songs and the music and the Greek and the Hebrew and all of that. But there's only one thing lacking. Most of the time there's no heart in any of it. Amen. I'm telling you, this thing started with the heart. God dealt with my heart. The Bible said the Lord looked on my heart. The Bible said that I had to believe with my heart. I'm telling you, this thing is about heart, not about head. And I want you to know that this man had a heart of Jesus like that. He's concerned about others. You say, what kind of heart did he have? He must have had a soft heart. Because he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick and ready to die. I mean, he was moved by someone else's circumstances. He was moved. Isn't it true that we've lived down to such a busy, materialistic age that we don't worry about anybody except us? The days of worrying about your neighbors over. The days of even worrying about church members sometimes is over. But I'm telling you, it's not pleasing to God. I'm telling you, nobody can do it all, but we all ought to do something.
Amen.
This man had a heart that could be touched. I'll tell you, so many people, nothing ever touches their heart anymore. We've seen so many catastrophes and disasters, and we saw so many news reports. We saw so much that it seems like we saw it all, and nothing even moves us anymore. I tell you, I don't want to go to the funeral home and not have some heart about it for the people that's there. I don't want to go to the hospital and not have some heart for the people that's there sick in the hospital. I'm telling you, the Lord, He wants us to care about others. Amen. And Jesus liked this man because he had some heart about him. Amen. Can I tell you something else? Not only a soft heart, but he had a heart that was unselfish. I mean, he's got a hearing with the Lord. But he doesn't ask the Lord anything for himself. And I mean, he wasn't praying some kind of a prayer like the old widow woman prayed. And she's about 40 years old, never been married. She's praying and she said, "Oh God," she said, "give me a son-in-law." Said, "Oh God," said, "I'm praying you'll give me a husband, not for me, but I want my mother to have a son-in-law." You know what that is? That's just a roundabout prayer of praying to consume it upon your own lust. Amen. But there was no trick in this. This man was unselfish. You say, how do you know he was unselfish? Because Luke 7:5 said when the Jews came, if they were the ones that came, he said, when the Jews came, they said, "Lord, you need to do something for this man. You need to hear his prayer." Because this man loves our nation. And he has built for us a synagogue. Can you imagine how much money it'd take to build a synagogue? This man loves our nation. Their nation would have been Israel. And I'll tell you what, He's interested in a man loves Israel. Can I tell you, God's interested in somebody who wants to do something to help the Jews. This man had an unselfish heart. Can I tell you, there's some people don't have any heart. They wouldn't dare help anyone else of a different race, a different nationality. They wouldn't dare even help anybody of a different religion. They wouldn't help anybody. I'm not saying they're right. But I'm saying sometimes the way we win people to God is by being a friend to them and letting them see Jesus down in our heart and letting them see that we love Him and He loves everybody. Amen. You know, there's some Baptists that makes them mad. They don't like it because Jesus likes everybody. There's some Baptists that they don't like it because, you know, Jesus even cares about black people. Hello, I'm preaching this morning. And I tell you, there's some people, they don't like it because Jesus likes Filipinos and Jesus likes Japanese people. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus has a heart for all people. Amen. And I want to tell you, my heart is not right with God if I have hatred in my heart toward other people. Amen. Now, where's the amens? It's going to get worse. Amen me, I'll pay you when it's over. He was a man that had a heart. And this is not a long message. There's a little break to encourage you this morning. This is not a long message. It's only 4 points. I'm on the third one now. But not only was a man that had a heart, but he was a man who was humble. This man come to the Lord and he was humble. For the Bible said in verse 8 of this chapter, he says, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy." Now here was a man from a human standpoint that had every reason to say, "Lord, I'm worthy." He was a centurion. As Brother Eddie said, even others around him said, "He's worthy." He had power. He had prestige. He had a position in the Roman government. Here was a man that had every reason to say, "I'm worthy." Some people think because people have nothing, because people know nothing, because people do nothing, that they're humble. They think the only ones that's proud is somebody that's rich. Can I tell you, I've seen people poor as Job's turkey that was as proud as a peacock. And I've seen people that didn't have nothing. They was proud. And I've seen people that had lots and they were humble. Jesus likes humbleness. And we need a big dose of that in the church today. Amen. Dump it right here first. And then dump it over there and then dump it here. And then dump it back there and dump it in the Sunday school rooms. We need humbleness. I'll tell you, the people that come to the Lord, people that are humble. I heard Brother Mark say sometime while we were praying or while someone else was praying or while Brother Kenny was singing, sometime during all that I heard Brother Mark say, "Help us, Lord." That's what it is.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Yeah. We think, well, we got so-and-so coming to preach this morning. We can handle it, Lord. We got so-and-so coming to sing or teach today. We got it, Lord. That's not the attitude. The attitude is, Lord, help me, Lord. I can't do it on my own. Humbleness. You know, sometimes us preachers and teachers, we can get the proudest of anybody. We preach a few sermons, teach a few lessons, and we think we know more than anybody. We can be so proud that we make those that are listening to us feel like dummies and they don't know nothing and they're ignorant. But I'll tell you one of these days, are you listening? One of these days we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus and we're going to feel like dummies because we're going to find out we don't know nothing. We don't know half of what's been told. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's good preaching if I am doing it.
Amen.
Amen. Humble. This man was humble. He had possessions. I mean, you'd have to have some money to build somebody a synagogue. I mean, imagine somebody coming in this morning and saying, "Brother Rick, I love America and I want to build y'all a brand new church." Anybody want to do that this morning? You'd have to have some money. This man had possessions. But you know why I think he was humble? He knew where they came from. You don't hear him talking like I hear some people talk. I want to show you my farm. I want you to see my house. I want to show you my new Cadillac. I want to show you my new motorcycle. I want to tell you about my money I have in three banks under CDs. If you don't get nothing else out of my sermon this morning, get this. It's not your money. It's not your car. It's not your house. It's not your bank account. It's Jesus. You say, "I work for it." Yeah, Brother Mike taught about that. If you'd been here last Sunday morning, you'd heard about that. He said last Sunday morning, "Yeah, we work for it, but God got us a job. God gives us the health to be able to work. God gives us enough brain to learn how to do the job." You see, he knew where it came from. Boy, used to, when our cabinets wasn't full and our freezers wasn't full and our billfolds wasn't full, when you sat down and said, "God, thank you today for our daily bread," you meant it. Amen. We ought to make a habit of when we roll through that bank first of the month, and stick that check in there and that little paper that tells about our account and how much our payment is on our house. When that little vacuum sucks it up in there, before it even gets halfway up that cellar, we ought to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for another few hundred dollars to make a house payment." We roll through that electric company and we lay that money in that little thing before we get out of sight of that lady. We ought to be saying, "Thank you, God, I got health. Thank you, God, I've got electric for another month." I'm telling you, this man was humble because he knew where he had, what he had, where it came from. You say, "I got a lot," then you ought to be more humble than anybody else. And then he had position. He was a centurion. But he knew who moved him into that position. That's why he was humble. Amen. You say, I got a good job. Wonder who gave you favor to get it. You got any job? Wonder who gave you favor to get it. Amen. He was humble. This man had power. He said, I'm a man. He said, I know about authority. I have people under me. I say go and they go. I say come and they come. He had power. He had authority. He was a captain, Brother Wade. But he knew who the commander-in-chief was. He said, I tell Eddie to come. But he tells my breath to come into my lungs. He tells my heart to beat another beat. Amen. He tells my stomach to get hungry so that I'll have appetite. Oh, folks. I tell you, we come to church hoping Brother Kenny will sing good or Brother Rick will preach good or somebody will teach good or somebody will testify good. I want to tell you, boy, we just sort of thank God this morning that we're able to be here. You say, that's old preaching. I've heard that said 100 times. We need to hear it say every day. Because the devil makes us forget how blessed we are. You're talking about a blessing. I've been sending guys on visitation out to see Miss Hatcher. Marvin, you went out there, didn't you? Who went with you? You remember who went with you? Brother Marvin, and was it Brother Bill? Did you go out there, Brother Bill? Well, I wasn't with them, and I didn't talk to them when they get back. But if I'm not right, then y'all folks stand up and say, no, I didn't think that. But when you left there, did you feel blessed? You see what you mean? She's got a boy. Was in a bad car wreck last September. Early this year, a lady comes to church here, Miss Inez, she called me. She said, Brother Rick, she said, I got a neighbor. Said her son was in a bad car wreck last September. Said he was in Louisville until just a few months ago, and they sent him home to die. And she said she's been trying to get somebody to come pray with him. Nobody will come. Said, will you come pray with him? And I said, yeah, I'll come. And I went over there, and when I walked in to see that boy, I'm telling you, it moved my heart. I'm telling you, when I left there, I felt blessed to be able to blink my eyes. I felt blessed to be able to wiggle my toes. Cheryl knows what I'm talking about. Can I tell you that? I was over there this week and visited that lady. She was just happy as a bird going around the kitchen there. You say, what's she happy about? Her boy wiggled his toes a little bit. Her boy blinked his eyes a little bit. And your boys and mine, they're walking, they're talking, they're hearing, they're seeing, and nobody's got nothing to thank God for this morning. Nobody's got nothing to be happy about this morning. I'm telling you that we need to remember what God's done for us. We need to remember who the real authority is. It's Jesus. He was a man who heard. He was a man that had heart. He was a man that was humble. Most importantly, he was a man whose faith the Lord honored. Amen. The Bible says in verse 10, Jesus said about this man, he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Notice, not in all Israel, but not in Israel. In other words, he said, the nation of Israel don't have this kind of faith. If they had this kind of faith, boy, things would be different. But he said, they don't have this kind of faith. And he said, therefore, he said, one day they'll come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they'll sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. But he said, the children of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. You say, why? They don't have this kind of faith. Amen. If you don't have this kind of faith, you'll be cast out too. Here was a man whose faith was honored. Well, that's what counts. Does God honor your faith? Does God honor your faith? You see, there's all kinds of faith that people have that God don't honor. But he honored this man's faith. Look here. Note three things about this captain's faith that met the commander-in-chief. Number one, verse 8. The centurion, and let me just say this about verse 7. He come to the Lord in verse 5 and told him the problem. But look at verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. You say, why'd you say that? I wanted to show you how willing, how ready Jesus is to bless somebody.
Amen.
He didn't even ask no questions. He knew this man wanted a blessing. He said, I will.
Amen.
You want to be saved this morning? He will. Look here, verse 8. The centurion answered the Lord. Jesus said, I will. I mean, if they'd been most Baptists, they'd say, let's go for it.
Amen.
Get her done, Lord.
Yeah.
But notice in verse 8, he says, oh, wait a minute. No, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Whew. Glory to God. He said, Lord, my faith in your word.
Amen.
It ain't in you coming.
Right.
It ain't in me seeing you down there.
Amen.
But Lord, my faith in your word.
Amen.
He said, Lord, if you said it, I believe it.
Amen.
I don't care what the Baptists say. I don't care what the Jews say. I don't care what the Pentecostals say. I don't care what the Catholics say. If you said it, Lord, I believe it, Lord. Just the word. Boy, you need to get a load of that. His faith was based, settled, rock down, smack dab in the middle of the Word of God. It was in the Word. And he didn't need, are you listening? He didn't need any wonders or signs. He didn't say, Lord, if it's you, let the lights blink. I'm not making fun. I'm trying to help you. He didn't say, if it's you, Lord, let me feel some cold chills run up and down my spine. He didn't say, if it's you, Lord, let somebody get up and come to the altar after I do. He didn't say, Lord, let me hear angels singing. Let me see lights. Lord, come down here and stand beside me. Lord, get over in the seat with me in the car. Oh, no. He didn't need wonders and signs. He had the Word. You know why people need wonders and signs? They don't have the Word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. He's saying, Lord, got to honor this man's faith. I mean, this man got what he wanted. No wonders, no signs. He said, Lord, you just speak the word, and I'm going home. Just speak the word, Lord. And Jesus said, go thy way, verse 13, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it's done unto thee.
Yeah, how about that?
Going on. Just run along, sonny.
Amen.
He didn't say, well, Lord, I know you said it, but I didn't feel anything.
Right.
Lord, I know it's what you said, and I'm not trying to call you a liar or anything, God. But I didn't see anything. And Lord, you didn't even tell me to do anything. I'm going to make some of you mad, and I don't care. Not at the expense of the truth, I don't. But it's not what you do. It's believing in what He's already done. It's not getting up and shaking 30 people's hands in the church that day. It's believing on two nail-scarred hands that was nailed on a cross to you 2,000 years ago. No wonders, no signs. Jesus just said, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And notice this, I'm talking about his faith. It was in the Word. He didn't need no wonders or signs. And you know the thing, it's really hard to argue about it. It worked. It's hard to argue what works. You say, well, our church don't do it that way. Sorry, it works. You say, my preacher didn't preach it to me that way. We'll get you another preacher. It works. How can you argue with what works?
Amen.
Lord Jesus. You say, how long did it take it to work? Not long. Verse 13 says, go thy way as thou hast believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. You say, now when was it in this hour? Well, I can pinpoint it for you. It was the moment Jesus said, your servant's healed, go thy way. The moment he believed that, it was done. It's over, it's done. He was well. I think when he got home, I think when he got to the door, the servant was there with his water. I think when he got home, he wasn't waiting on somebody to fix him chicken noodle soup. He's fixing somebody else chicken noodle soup. It worked. Somebody said, preacher, are you sure you're saved? I'm sure. You say, why? It worked. It worked, thank God. It changed my life. It changed my desires. It changed my want-tos. It worked. You want to meet Jesus? You can. But you've got to hear about it. You've done that this morning. You've got to have a heart to desire it, to want something from Him. What did he say? When you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He's close. You've got the right kind of heart. Can I tell you this morning, you got to come humble. Lord, I need you to save me. If you don't save me, I'm going to die and go to hell. Lord, if you don't do something for my situation, Lord, it's over. God, I need you. Come with heart, you come humble. And I'm telling you, when you come in the right way, believing the right thing, doing the right thing, God honor it. Amen. God honor it. God honor it. Father, I thank you this morning for letting me preach again about this centurion that just simply came to the Lord and he came in behalf of someone else. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to come in behalf of someone else. It's not them that stands in the need of prayer. It's someone else. But Lord, maybe they'd come with a heart for that person and humble today to come to the Lord and earnest. And they'd hear about this Jesus that's done something for others that he'll do it for them. God, I pray this morning if there's people here today that has lost loved ones or people that are, Lord, in the straits of the life's problems, that, Lord, that they might come in behalf of their family, their children, their husband, their wife, their grandchildren, whatever it might be. They'd come to the Lord today and get help from God for them. And, Father, I pray today for those that are lost today. And there's people lost here today. God, I pray that today they'd say, I'm going to get saved. This thing's real. I'm going to meet Jesus by faith today. And I'm going to lead today with Jesus in my heart. I'm going to be like Zacchaeus and I'm going to take the Lord home to abide with me today. God, help him, I pray. Use this message to help your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. As we stand this morning, many have already come. Maybe you need to. You come this morning as we sing. God bless you today.
104 in the Heavenly Highway Hymnal.